Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Thank you for joining us on the Go and Teach radio program. This is a work of the Monte Vista Church of Christ that meets in Phoenix, Arizona. My name is Ryan Goodwin. I'm very grateful that you've decided to spend part of your day studying the Bible with us on this program. Have your Bibles open to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at several passages in that wonderful book of wisdom. In particular, today's lesson is going to focus on one of my favorite words from the Bible, a word that, like so many others, really sounds like what it is, the sluggard. We're going to look at what the sluggard is and how a sluggard affects the people around him, and even some recommendations on how we can avoid ever becoming the sluggard. By way of introduction, one writer put it well in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. In the Old Testament, he says, a sluggard is one who avoids the action that wisdom requires. In the broadest sense, the Old Testament's negative judgment on sloth is rooted in God's purpose in creation, namely, that people be industrious stewards of the earth. When you go back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis 1:28 or in Genesis 2, verse 15, we realize that it was always God's intention for his creation to be productive in some way, however we're best suited individually. We all have different talents. We all have different amounts of talents. Matthew 25 in the parable of the talents shows that some people have 10 or 5 or 2 or 1, but we're all given some degree of talent. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 14, the Apostle Paul talks about the church like it was a human body. And that analogy is used to show that each part of the body has a unique and distinctive function, that one part of the body can never replace the other because every part of a human body has a talent. It has something that it's good at, something that it's designed to do. And that's the same way with everybody. We're all given certain talents. No two people are talented in the exact same way, which means that we all have something that we can contribute to society, to a family, or to a church family. Avoiding work, of course, is never considered a noble pursuit in the Bible. And that's why we're in the book of Proverbs today, because the book of Proverbs gives special attention to this particular subject. There are three passages in particular that we're going to look at closely today, in Proverbs 6, and then in chapter 24, and in chapter 26. But there's also some other scattered sayings that I want to look at real quickly by way of introduction. Some people think that laziness is not anybody else's problem, that you can't tell me that I have to work, that you can't tell me that my choice to be lazy has any impact on anyone else around me. What I choose to do with my life shouldn't matter to anybody else. I think the Bible, though, would counter with some wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, and notice in Proverbs 10 and verse 26, the Bible there says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. In the same way that certain substances simply bring discomfort or outright pain to our bodies, the lazy people around us, when we try to depend on them for something, can seem very, very painful. They're destructive to our efforts. So again, don't tell me that your laziness has no impact on the people around you. You're smoke to the eyes and vinegar to the teeth. Consider also in chapter 20, in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, the sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Again, this decision that the sluggard made to not plow when it was the right time, to not take care of his land in the way that he needed, to not prepare for winter, his decision to be lazy didn't just impact him. He actually became a burden on those around him. He had to beg in order to survive. So again, in this lesson, I want to focus our attention on several of the passages in the book of Proverbs while really elucidating the way that the sluggard becomes a character in our own lives. Let's be careful, in particular, that we ourselves don't ever become the sluggard. Now, the first passage that we're going to look at in great detail is in Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. I like the way he starts it by saying, go to the ant and observe her ways, O sluggard. The verse immediately puts the onus on the sluggard himself for his failure to realize and observe what works in the lives of other people around him. I'm amazed, actually, that with so many great examples, there are still people who never learn the value of a dollar, or the satisfaction of honest labor, or how the quote-unquote American dream is actually realized. We live in a culture that is rife with the entitlement mentality. And I don't mean to get overly political in what is supposed to be a spiritual radio program, but I do think we see in our lives around us the sluggard played out. People believe that they have a right to everything that they want, and that it is somebody else's job to facilitate such a right. The ants, on the other hand, work tirelessly in spite of having no taskmaster to push them along. They prepare for the inevitable trials of life, the winters, those seasons where life is difficult, in spite of having no administrative superstructure laying out their outfit for the day. The ant doesn't need somebody to micromanage her life. And that's why the writer of Proverbs says, go to the ant, O sluggard, and observe her ways. Perhaps as a side application, have you ever actually obeyed this command? Have you ever gone out of your way to observe the ants and learn something? When was the last time that you went up to an anthill and just watched for a few minutes the ants busy at work? When was the last time that you took the lesson from Proverbs 6, observed it in real life, and then applied it to your own spiritual or physical condition? The Bible says, go to the ant and learn and be wise. And I think we need to take that to heart. Now, when you look at the ant herself, Proverbs 6 says that she prepares, that she gathers. This is a life of activity that needs no supervision. Also, notice the way that there are no surprises in the world for the ant. Both the ant and the sluggard know exactly when it's harvest time. Nobody was caught off guard by the harvest time. They knew when winter was coming. Similarly, in our own culture, there's very few things that should surprise us. We shouldn't be surprised by tax season. And yet every year, April 15th comes along, and we act like it's this brand new thing. Like it's this strange, novel occurrence. Well, you know, tax season happens the same time every single year. We shouldn't be surprised by credit card interest rates. Well, I didn't know that 19% interest rate was a bad thing, people would say. We shouldn't be surprised by slow seasons for certain jobs, that there are simply things that are seasonal. And don't be surprised by physical difficulties as you age, or the challenges that are involved in retirement. Again, these things should never surprise us. Now, the writer of Proverbs 6 asks the sluggard, how long will you lie down? I think this is a subtle indication that the sleep of the sluggard goes far beyond what is necessary or helpful in his life. Obviously, we all need to lie down and rest from our labor. Sleep is a necessary thing. But the difference is that the sluggard goes beyond the reasonable bounds of inactivity. His sleep becomes destructive and unpleasant, almost self-loathing, whereas the hard-working individual enjoys satisfying sleep. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12. Your poverty comes upon you like a vagabond, the writer says. As one writer put it, this lesson comes too late. He will suddenly wake to find that poverty has arrived and there is no arguing with it. There does come a time in life when you just can't recover from wasted opportunities, when a condition is simply beyond repair. There will come a time when you will not be physically able to work as long or as hard as you used to, or when your lack of experience and initiative have prevented you from making a livable wage ever. Poverty clings to the slothful man like an incorrigible beggar who always lingers about the house and always wants more. Laziness will siphon off resources until the indolent have nothing left to give. Next, let's go to Proverbs 24. We'll look for a few minutes in Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. I passed by the field of the sluggard, the writer says, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected on it. I looked and received instruction. And here's that same old adage from Proverbs 6, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Let's start by noticing this phrase, I passed by the field of the sluggard. Here we get to catch a glimpse into the life of the sluggard. What does his home life look like? What about his workspace, or his yard, or his finances? In their ignorance, sluggards often forget that their lives are on display for the whole world to see, especially now in an age when voyeurism seems more rampant than ever. There's really nothing that you can do in life that somebody else cannot photograph or catalog in some way. You scan any cable channel or Google, and you'll find them flooded with reality shows parading the lives of everybody from hoarders to horrible housewives, from teen mothers to polygamists. It is easier than ever to pass by the field of almost any kind of lifestyle and catch a glimpse into the inside world of how those people live. Now, what did the field of the sluggard look like? The writer says that it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. There's really no hiding it. Within plain view of every passerby is a life completely choked by weeds, littered with failed and neglected projects and hobbies, half-heartedly set aside for care that never seems to materialize. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18 adds, through indolence, another word for laziness, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. Sadly, every overgrown flowerbed and ramshackle home begins with just a single project being neglected, just a single weed being left alone. Without diligence, one leak or one broken piece of siding quietly turns into a dozen leaks, into a dozen broken pieces of siding. You know that a rotten house just starts with one act of neglect. One moment of laziness where you're not willing to pull that weed, where you're not willing to fix that leak, where you're not willing to close the window or repair the pane. The same is true of many self-inflicted conditions, not just homes, but finances, failing marriages, disciplinary issues with our children, faltering attendance at church. It all starts with small decisions or indecisions made in the daily acts of life. So the writer says, when I saw, I reflected. I received instruction. The sluggard's life then becomes a cautionary tale for all those observing his self-implosion. We also learn here that many of our most powerful lessons can come from observing the people around us. If you're seeking a wise and productive life, don't waste the opportunity to learn a thing or two from those who have made poor choices. Perhaps having a greater understanding of the sluggard can help us not only keep ourselves on God's path, but also help create opportunities for us to help those whose laziness has put them in an unfortunate situation. And there's that same old phrase, the anthem of the sluggard, a little sleep, a little slumber. In his commentary on Proverbs, Kidner notes, "He does not commit himself to a refusal, but deceives himself by the smallness of his surrenders. So, by inches and minutes, his opportunity slips away." Like I said, I'm impressed that it is the small battles, the little battles fought every day, that determine the overall direction of life. 5 minutes here and there of laziness really end up adding up throughout a day. One moral compromise invariably leads to another. One snarky, sarcastic remark may take a person down a path that ultimately results in bitterness, a lost job, a severed relationship, and I dare say, even spiritual condemnation. Now, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the sluggard from the book of Proverbs in the Bible. I want to reiterate something that I touched on earlier. We need to be very careful not to judge the people around us just because we can see something from the outside of their life. There are many conditions that are not self-inflicted, many conditions that people face in life, health issues, job issues, financial conditions, that they would never have chosen to bring on themselves. So we need to be careful in our studying of the sluggard, of laziness as it's talked about in the Bible. We need to be careful to apply this properly, appropriately, and gently. Let's not judge a person a sluggard until we see by their actions just who they are. Don't judge a book by its cover might be another way of putting it. With all that being said, though, the sluggard brings it on himself. In Proverbs 6 and in Proverbs 24, like we've already read, you can see in the life of the sluggard, by the way the sluggard carries himself, by the way the sluggard conducts himself in his business, in his relationships, in the maintenance of his home or his finances. Some people are just screaming out loud by the way that they live, "I am lazy." You can never depend on a lazy person. The one who depends on a lazy person is going to find his eyes smoked out and his teeth pained with vinegar, just like we've already read earlier in the book of Proverbs. Now, our last passage that we're going to look at in this program is Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 13. Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 13. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square." As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's weary of bringing it to his mouth again. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Let's start with this first excuse. A lion is in the road. A lion is in the open square. You know, when I read this verse, every time I want to say, how often does this actually happen? The excuses that we make for ourselves may seem reasonable in our own minds, but they're really proven totally outlandish in the real world. Of course, the sluggard never sees himself as being lazy. He feels totally justified in staying home or neglecting his work because of the off chance, because of the slim possibility that a lion might kill him on the way to a job. And again, how often does that actually ever happen? Now, we do the same thing when we make excuses for our own laziness. We'll say things like, "Well, I could die in a car accident, so I should just avoid driving anywhere. I could have my heart broken, so I choose not to date. I could get sick, so I never visit people at the hospital. I could get robbed, so I never do door knocking and evangelism. I could get hurt, so I refuse to do manual labor. I could get lost, so I never ever leave my comfort zone." These, of course, are not nearly as outlandish as believing that there's a lion in the middle of a city. But should our lives really essentially be paralyzed because there is an element of danger in everything that we do? The sluggard might argue, "I just don't like to be pushed. I have a laid-back personality." But you know, there are plenty of laid-back people who achieve great things. When it comes to motivation, it's not a matter of style. It's a matter of how we conduct ourselves. Next, look at this phrase, "as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed." I know. I'd be a hypocrite if I said that every now and then I don't hit that snooze button. You know how you roll out of bed halfway, your feet touch the carpet, and then you roll back the other way back into bed? Well, that's just like a door turns on its hinges. And This is really the greatest degree of movement to which the sluggard aspires in a day. We're not talking about hitting the snooze button every now and then. We are talking about a person who habitually, continually refuses to get out of bed and be productive with his life. And just as you think that maybe he's going to get up and do something productive, well, in an instant, he turns and falls back on his pillow. Next, we find the sluggard with his hand buried deep in the dish. He's so lazy that he won't even bring his hand up to his mouth again to feed himself. Like Proverbs 19, verse 24, this verse is saying that we should never be surprised by just how lazy people can be. The lesson is that even when nourishment is mere inches away, the sluggard will not find the will to feed himself. This is how pathetic some people become, though. The path to prosperity is littered with those who know the way but lack the motivation to achieve their goals. Of course, couple this with the fact that the sluggard spends most of his time wishing and dreaming, craving for the very thing that is at his fingertips, and you really start to get a clear picture of the depth and the extent of his laziness. Go back to Proverbs 13, verse 4, and notice what is written there. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made hearty. The last thing that we'll look at in this program is this phrase back in chapter 26. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. You know, for all the trouble that the sluggard brings upon himself because of his laziness, for his house that's falling apart, for his yard that's covered in weeds, for his job that is, quite frankly, non-existent, for his relationships that have been neglected, for his children who don't respect him, for all the trouble that the sluggard brings upon himself, he sure is good at patting himself on the back. He pats himself on the back for getting out of work, for being above it. Again, Kidner says in his commentary on Proverbs, the wise man will learn that the sluggard is no freak, but, as often as not, an ordinary man who has made too many excuses, too many refusals, and too many postponements. It has all been as imperceptible and as pleasant as falling asleep. Now, perhaps you're not as bad as the sluggard presented in the book of Proverbs. Let's remember something about the sluggard. The sluggard is written as a character in Proverbs as an exaggeration. He is an extreme case of the lazy attitude. I highly doubt that many of us have actually met a full-blown sluggard in life. But perhaps there are aspects of the sluggard. Little attitudes here and there, little decisions that we make from day to day that, if given a chance to grow, or should I say if given a chance to fester, can lead us to become the full-blown sluggard. I don't ever want to reach that point. I don't ever want to find out what it is like to have my entire life fall apart around me because I was too lazy to do the things I needed to do from day to day. Too lazy to love the people that I should have loved. Too lazy to put a little bit of work in now to spare me all kinds of trouble in the future. I know that there are conditions that we face that we don't bring upon ourselves. Poor people are not always sluggards. Unhealthy people are not always sluggards. Let's remember that. We don't judge other people. That's not the point of studying the sluggard. The point is not to look at the sluggard, laugh at him, point your finger, wag your finger, to insult him, and to say, I'm sure glad I'm not him. The point of studying about the sluggard is to use the book of Proverbs as a mirror, to ask yourself, have I been lazy? Have I been indolent? Have I been selfish? And have I been feeding off the hard work of other people when I myself have had the capability all along to do it myself? Now, we certainly hope that if you have any questions about the Bible or about our faith, that you'll let us know. Please reach out to the Monte Vista Church of Christ. And have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.